My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is so good to be gathered here in your in the presence of God and of His church. What an amazing blessing it is to be in a country where we can celebrate God's love for us and worship Him in public and be able to speak of Him in our lives because of the freedoms that that we are able to enjoy here. And as we celebrate this gift that God has given us in our country, and as we celebrate, of course, the amazing gift that God has given us in our forgiveness and salvation, let us begin our worship service, remembering the day that we were made His children, the day of our baptism, and the name that was spoken over us on that day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You this morning. We thank You so much that You have given us this day, given us this place where we are able to gather, Lord, holy space and holy time given to You, Lord, set apart so that we can receive from You the forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need and look forward to the day when we will live forever in Your glory because of Your work. Lord, I pray that You would bless us this morning. Send Your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds through this word that we will be sharing this morning in song and in word. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to grow in faith so that we will prepared to be Your people, prepared to be Your servants, Your voice in this world. Thank You, Lord, for all this. In Your name we pray. Amen. Please stand. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before You of all sins. I have lived as if You did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let Your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I want so for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing praises to the God who has forgiven us this morning.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July. My name is Brian Falls. I'm one of your elders at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege to read the first scripture reading. From the book of Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear your sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, children, it's time for the children's message. If you guys want to come forward. Anybody? Anybody? There we go. All right. Very good. We'll wait for Oscar and Sawyer. There we go. All right. So how are you guys doing today? Excellent. Have you guys ever gone on a trip?
Yes, we're actually going on a trip today.
Excellent. When you went up, when you were getting ready for the trip today, did you guys have to pack?
Yes, we did that yesterday.
You did that yesterday. Did you pack a lot of stuff?
Yes.
No,
not very much. Okay.
City and I are only going to be gone for 5 days.
Well, tell me this. When you packed, did you pack shoes?
Yes.
Only sandals. Only sandals, but nevertheless something, right? Okay. Well, here's the thing. A long time ago, I was in the Army, and we were going to go on a trip in the Army, and I packed everything, and I was making sure I didn't forget anything because I knew that all these things were going to be very, very important. And you know what? One thing I forgot? My boots. That wasn't good. They weren't impressed. Yeah, I had a big problem to solve all of a sudden because I had to find some boots to wear for that week because otherwise I would have been in big trouble because I wouldn't have been able to wear my uniform. So, here's the thing. This is a weird thing. Did you hear the verse we just read? Yeah. Jesus told the disciples that they were going to go out and they were going to talk about him. They're going to go preach to him in different towns. And what did he tell them to pack? A whole bunch of stuff? No. What did they pack? They had to pack a staff. And they said, no money in the belt, don't bring an extra shirt, and that's it. Weird. Seems like a strange trip, right? Do you think that kind of trip would go real well?
Yeah.
Probably not usually. But the thing is that, you know what it says at the end of the verse? It says that, did the trip go real well? It said that the disciples went out and they had like nothing extra at all, just the sandals on their feet and the clothes that they wore. And they went out, and it says that they cast out a whole bunch of demons and that they healed a whole bunch of people. So did the trip work? So why do you think the trip worked?
Jesus.
You think what?
Jesus.
That's a good Sunday school answer. I like that answer. It's mostly right, isn't it? It's always, yeah, and that's exactly it. Here's the thing. What did they tell people? They told people what Jesus told them to tell them, right? And they went out and did the things that Jesus told them to do. And when they followed God, did God make their work work? Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, here's the thing, is that this happens over and over in the Bible, right? Do you guys remember the Jericho? And who walked around Jericho? Who was the leader at the time?
Moses.
No, it wasn't Moses. It was right after Moses. Who took over after Moses? Joshua, right? And Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, which is kind of not true, because who actually fought the Battle of Jericho? God, exactly. And what did the children of Israel do? What was the way that they were going to fight Jericho? They were going to walk around the city 7 times on the last day, right? 1 time each for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day. And then what happened?
They blew their horns, and the whole wall came down.
Isn't that incredible? Don't you wish you had horns like that? You could blow, knock walls down? So the thing is that was it because of the horns? Was it because of the walking?
No.
It was because of
Jesus telling them to do that.
Exactly. Who made it happen? God made it happen. And it's the same thing with us going out and talking about Jesus, is that it's not because we have cool gadgets, it's not because we have cool clothes, it's not because we're really, really good at talking, it's not because of any of that. It's because we tell the message that God told us to tell or to say, and God makes it work. Yeah. Isn't that a crazy thing? And what's the message? What's the message we're supposed to tell people?
About Jesus.
What about Jesus?
That he takes away your sins.
That Jesus takes away our sins? How?
By dying on the cross.
By dying on the cross for us. He just did it. Isn't that cool?
Same kind of shoe.
That's amazing. Okay, well, should we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for loving us so much and for giving us such an important job to do of carrying your word to the people around us. Lord, I pray that you would help us be faithful and trust you to make it powerful. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, it is now time for a little worship, so anybody 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross and the flag. Well, this is a very special day in the middle aisle. And the rest of us are going to open up God's word right here and right now. All right. The sermon text for today is Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. Then he said to me, "Son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to the people of Israel. Not to many people of obscure speech and strange language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. For all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people." And he said to me, "Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Now go to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen." Okay, we live in a pretty amazing country, do we not? I mean, a country where we enjoy such freedoms, a country where we enjoy such wealth, and country in which we enjoy such luxuries, such, even excess. And nothing makes this more clear to me than when we go and visit other countries. With the mission team, we go down to Guatemala, and it's not like here at all. Their houses are not like here. Most of them don't have cars. Some of them have really little motorcycles, bicycles. They don't have the security that we have. They don't know where their next meal is necessarily coming from. Most of them have part-time jobs, and that's it. It's not the same at all. It's not to say that our country is perfect, however. You know, the fact is that just like Israel, when they enjoyed excess, when they enjoyed plenty, they began to wander away from God. They didn't feel like they needed to depend on God for everything, and so their prayers faltered, their dependence on him faltered, their relationship with him faltered, and they began to seek after other things. Sound familiar? I mean, our country is, there's a lot in our culture that is not going the way it needs to, the way it should. Don't you wish God would send somebody to speak truth in our culture? You know, wouldn't it be really nice if God would say, you know what, there's this group of people who are going to be the ones who are going to speak my word. You know, sort of like Ezekiel had to do. But what would you expect to happen to somebody who would speak truth in our culture today? They might get canceled. Yeah. Do you think that if somebody were to speak truth in our culture today and do it unapologetically and boldly, do you think they would meet a little bit of resistance? Little, right? You think they would be called hateful things? Absolutely. Welcome to prophecy. Read the Old Testament and watch. Look at how the men of God, the ones who spoke truth to a nation that did, as God said, detestable things, and see how they were treated. But God is talking to one of those prophets in today's text. He's commissioning him. And in addition to commissioning him, actually, he's not commissioning him in this text. That was in chapters 1 and 2. What he's doing in the text today in chapter 3 is he is telling Ezekiel, this is how I am going to prepare you for the job that is in front of you. I am sending you to a people that is rebellious. A people who will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. In other words, you are going to go out and you are going to speak my truth, and most likely nobody is going to pay you any attention. They will, however, abuse you and malign you and persecute you for telling the truth. And the thing is that it's such a strange thing, right? Because why is it that God went after the children of Israel and told them truth through the prophets? It's because he loved them. I mean, the thing is that God had this relationship with his people where he said, I will be your God, you will be my people. We've talked about this a lot, right? God chose these people out of the whole nation to be, or the whole world, to be the nation through which his Messiah would come, through which his revelation would come, his word would come. And that people continued to wander away from him. But that would mess up God's plan of salvation. And so God was very, very firm and very, very diligent to try to work at keeping his people faithful. And every time they wandered away, he would do whatever it took to drag them back to him. And sometimes it took enemies that would come and harry the people and make life difficult for them, and then they would repent, and God would send a judge that would deliver the people from whatever nation was giving them trouble at the time. And then later on, it was more and more difficult things until finally, it was the exile. That it took something that severe to even get the children of Israel's attention. But God did it because he loved these people. If he didn't love the people, he wouldn't have bothered. He wouldn't have gone out of his way. He wouldn't have made such plans. He wouldn't have sent the prophets, the people that he loved, to go into these situations and be hurt this way. But he knew these people were valuable. He wanted his people back. And so he sent his prophets to tell them the truth, because some of them might turn around. Some of them might repent. Some of them may return. And the question is today in our culture, we got a lot of people who are heading in bad directions. And when I say bad directions, I'm not just saying what they're doing displeases God, does it? Yeah, absolutely it does. But it's not just that it displeases God, but it displeases God because these behaviors, these things that they are doing are actually destructive to themselves. That they believe that they are smarter than God. That God says, don't do these things, don't go these directions. These things are wrong. And people think, well, I know better. They're not destructive. They aren't going to hurt me. They're going to make me happy. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Anybody who tries to go against God in truth, you know, tries to be smarter than God, it never works. It always leads to pain. It always leads to destruction. It always ruins lives. And so God, because he loves those people, because every single one of those people are precious to him, God sends us to speak truth. Scary? I mean, anybody eager to run out into the world and start talking about what God's expectations are and what is the best way to live in our current culture? Just like Ezekiel, God says, I am sending you to a rebellious nation. They're probably not going to listen to you. But they're too precious to just write off without a fight. And so he says, folks, you're going to need to be hard-headed. You're going to need to be stubborn. You're going to need to love the way Jesus loved. Remember how Jesus loved? How hard was that? You know? I mean, seriously, he came to die on the cross for these people. The same people who were sitting there in the court right in front of Pilate, shouting, crucify him, crucify him. I mean, how hard would it be to just keep going after that? I mean, wouldn't it be much, really? I mean, wouldn't most of us just say, fine, you don't want me, I'm going home. You know, I mean, really. But in the middle of the sin, in the middle of our sin, while we were still sinners, while those people were still screaming, crucify him to Jesus, he chose to die for them. He loved us in a way that was hard, in a way that sacrificed himself. And now today we are surrounded by people who are living in ways that are going to bring them destruction. It is going to hurt them. It is going to ruin them. It is going to cause nothing but emotional pain and emotional carnage. We know how this is going to end. And we're the ones that God has sent to speak his truth. Not in judgment, because here's the thing, if somebody isn't a follower of Jesus, do you expect them to follow his law? I mean, is that even a rational expectation? But instead, we go to them with grace, the love of God and forgiveness. We tell them about the God who died for them while they are yet sinners, who accepts them as they are, but loves them too much to leave them that way. The God who has given them forgiveness, earned for them forgiveness of the sin, and wants them to come into a faith relationship where they can enjoy that forgiveness. A God who will accept you no matter how messed up your life is, no matter how far you've wandered, no matter where you've gone. We want them to know the God who is the God of grace and love, who forgives them no matter what. And they're going to yell at us and they're going to call us all kinds of hateful names when we do this. And the question is, do we love them enough to take it? The answer is, yeah, we do. Because of the love that Jesus put in us, the love that God gives us, the love that drove him to the cross to forgive us while we were sinners, we will take whatever punishment it takes. because those people are that valuable. Bible says, speak the truth in love. That means we speak grace, but we never compromise on truth. Anything less than speaking the truth in love is simply not loving. Think about it. If you go to two oncologists, right? Cancer doctors, right? And one of them says, yes, you have cancer. But if we start some aggressive treatment right now, it's going to really change your life. Things are not going to be pleasant. It's going to be hard. But we can most likely beat this cancer. You go to the other cancer doctor and they say, well, I see the cancer, but if I tell them they have cancer, it's going to really hurt their feelings and make them feel bad. So I definitely don't want to tell them that they have cancer. Tell me this, which doctor loves the person? You know what I'm saying? And so if we see people around us who are struggling, people who are going the wrong way, people who are going with the culture is giving forgiveness or giving, it's not even giving forgiveness, it's just saying there is nothing wrong here. You know what I'm saying? Which is a terrible message, because if there's nothing wrong, is there any place for forgiveness? If we aren't there to speak truth, who will? We have been sent, and God prepares us for this mission. He says this. I love this. The way he prepares Ezekiel for this ministry is just amazing. I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. You ever think stubbornness is a good thing? This is divine stubbornness. Stubbornness is a gift of the Spirit. Isn't that great? Stubbornness that is unyielding. Stubbornness that loves the way God loves. Stubbornness that just won't ever give up. That's just going to be tenacious. And I've seen this kind of stubbornness before in parents. Especially moms. They're just tenacious. You know, they watch their kids start to go the wrong way. And what do they do, kids? What do your moms do? Do they let you? No, they just keep telling you over and over and over. And it drives you absolutely crazy. And turn around to thank your mom for that, because she loves you. Right? And so here's the thing, is that we want to be like that. And there's another dimension to this. And this is another thing that really bothers me in this. We have so many people today who are, there are people who are activists who are encouraged, that they are misleading a lot of people, you know. They find people who are weak. They find people who are in crisis. They find people who are young and still developing and don't know who they are yet, and they start putting words in their brains, and they start misleading them and leading them to do things that are going to be really destructive, especially like the transgender type stuff, you know, the hormone therapies and the surgeries and the trouble is that activists, I'll predict what is going to happen. At some point, all those people that they've misled are going to lose their value to them, and they're going to move on to the next thing. And all those broken people, all those people who are damaged by the hormone therapy, because those hormone therapies are awful. I mean, awful. In some cases, can stop brain development, stop puberty, stop development, stop you from growing. We have no idea how bad it's going to be, but the one thing I can tell you is it's going to be bad. I mean, we're really, really messing with natural processes in a body that is far more complex than we give it credit for. You know, our God made a very complex body. We don't even know what we're doing to these poor kids. And at some point, those kids are no longer going to be useful to the activists, and they're going to be discarded. And the one thing that I know about those kids is that they're still God's children. And God loves them. And they are precious. And you know who's going to need to pick them up and help them? Us. Because we are God's people. And we love the least of these. We seek them out. We find them and we tell them about the message of God. The forgiveness that God offers. The healing that God offers. And the heaven that awaits them when all their physical problems are going to be gone. We've got a lot of work to do, folks. You know, it's funny, we look back and we always think about building our country as a history conversation, right? We always think about those who suffered and died for us and, you know, won the Revolutionary War and won the Civil War and won all these conflicts throughout history so that we can be free. And we got a conflict right now that we have to engage in. If we don't speak the truth, who will? If we don't properly reflect what Christianity is in this world, who will? The media is not helping. Movies aren't helping. You know, I was thinking about it. We advertise a Christian education in our day school, and I start thinking about, is that a positive message in our culture anymore? Is the word Christian a positive thing to the average person on the street? Because, you know, Hollywood has gone into a full-on assault. How many movies do you see that the priest is the bad guy? You know, where the church is judgmental and harsh, doesn't help anybody. If we're not God's people, if we don't show something different than what they're portraying, we're not doing our part. We're not living the faith out that God gave us. We're not being his hands and feet in the world. We're not speaking his truth. Folks, God has brought us into his kingdom. He loves us so much. He has died on the cross so that we can be in this place today. He feeds us and he nourishes us with his own body and blood. And in through that gives us forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, strength to live the Christian life. He continues to bless us because he loves us so much. And what we've got to remember is just as God has loved us, he loves all those people out there. So let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our friends and our neighbors. And then let's be a witness to all that God has done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you today and we thank you for this nation that you've given us. We thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. We thank you, Lord, for all the people who came before us that made all this possible. Lord, I pray that you would also help us to continue to live out our faith in this world, that we would continue to speak your truth, that we would be unafraid, that we would be willing to be assaulted, willing to be hurt, willing to be slandered, Lord, so that the people, Lord, that you love can hear the truth, can hear the message that you've really spoken, and come into a relation and have the opportunity, Lord, to come into a relationship with you, a relationship by which through the Spirit they can be saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in a faithless world, that you would help us to be unafraid, that we would put our trust in you and keep our eyes in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, life is not always easy. There's just no other way around it. Sometimes God gives us hard jobs to do and hard things and hard times in our life. And the next song talks about those hard times and what God can do in and through them.
We pray for peace. if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Thank you. Let us stand as we confess the faith that God has revealed to us using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. We thank you so much that you have blessed us in so many ways, Lord. And today we thank you especially that you have blessed us with this nation, this place to live, this context in which we can live out our faith in you and freely be able to speak of your truth And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do this, Lord. Unfortunately, lately it's hard to speak truth because there's so much resistance to it. There's so much condemnation for it. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be bold, to be faithful, and to love our neighbors enough to continue to speak that truth in spite of the price that we will pay. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our nation, Lord. Give us good leaders, help be with our leaders and continue to guide them, Lord, to help them make decisions that are going to be good for your people. I pray that you would continue to be with those who are serving us, Lord, in our military, that they would be able to do so in honor, that they would be able to do it and come back. And Lord, keep them safe and bring them home, Lord, after their service is done, so that we can continue to love them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with your congregation, Lord, as we serve our community, as we serve the young, as we serve the families, as we teach your word, and as we worship you together, both in our words and in our lives. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Over and music fills the night,
Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live.
My dear friends, we have received this amazing gift of God's very body and blood, and through it, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It doesn't sound like much, but go back to the children's message for a little bit, right? You know, that walking around Jericho was how the children of Israel defeated Jericho, but it didn't work because they walked around Jericho. It worked because God's promise, God's word was in that. This is exactly the same way. How can eating and drinking do such great things? It is not the eating and drinking indeed that does them, but the word of God. The word of God. In his word, is his promise, and his promise is certain and true. And he promises in this gift to give us forgiveness of sins. And so as you have received his gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing also as you go your way today. Remember, he is with you always, which means you can talk to him always. He is always there to help you through the difficult times. You're never alone. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. And this is going to be, you want to give them directions or you want me to? Okay, I'm giving you directions. We are going to sing this song a cappella, it says here in my notes, which means without music. But we know this one pretty good, right? So here we go.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
All right, that was wonderful. See, it makes me nervous, but they know what they're doing. And you guys are far better off, better singers than I was giving you credit for. So there it is. All right, folks. Well, here's what we got. First of all, I would have a seat. I'd like to invite Jill. Did you want to say something here? Jill is always willing to talk. So there's that. Shocking, right? Yeah. All right, here we go.
Okay, it's pretty exciting for me to see everyone here and to have this day, 4th of July, our day to celebrate independence, to give you a quick update on Operation Barnabas. So 4 years ago, we started our military ministry, Operation Barnabas, and our mission is to remember our service members in prayer, encouragement, and support. So with your donations combined with grants from Thrivent, for two Christmases, we were able to send, 20 boxes, care packages, to our military members of Barnabas, and we had everything from padded work socks to Gold Bond powder to candy. We always have a Christian Christmas card with scripture in it, and of course, our Christmas message. Because of COVID last year, it was recommended to us that we not send boxes. So again, with the donations and with our Thrivent grant, we were able to send 7, maybe 8 generous Amazon gift cards to our active military, which they really appreciated. Additionally, we make it our goal to regularly send out notes of encouragement to them. So to date, we have sent almost 150 over our 3 years cards. We try to do that intermittently about every quarter of the year, just to encourage them, to let them know that we remember them, we're praying for them, and that we're grateful for their service and for their sacrifice. The two biggest challenges are keeping our addresses current. So if you have someone that you've asked us to put on our Barnabas ministry, please, if their address changed, let us know. The second thing, I hate to say the M word, but it's money, because we depend on the donations to do those care packages and postage, and that's exactly what it goes for, just those things. So, we're always happy to see a contribution in our Barnabas bucket. And by the way, we have a table outside. You may have noticed it. in the hall, and there are note cards on it so that you can pick one up and jot a note of encouragement down, and we'll even pay the postage. We'll send it for you, and there's a box where you can deposit that. Just let them know that we appreciate their service, their sacrifice, and our freedoms. One final thought I want to leave you with. Politics and personalities can be very divisive. That's become more and more obvious every year, especially in a political year. But one thing is a fact that always remains. We are indeed one nation, and under God we are indivisible. Thanks for your support.
All right, and just an encouragement, if you get if you know of anybody who's in the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and we'll even include the Merchant Marines, like my brother was in. Anyway, the Merchies. Anyway, but the thing is that if you know anybody in these fields that are would like to have that kind of support, please let us know. Give us their address and stuff. And when Jill sends a little note to you saying, hey, we're updating our addresses and making sure, just get back to her right away so she can keep those up to date, because it's really frustrating when you're trying to do this and we don't get cooperation sometimes, because I know people are busy, but please help us out because we need it. All right, with that, God's blessings on your week. We have somebody, individual prayer in the prayer chapel after the service today. If you brought food to Don Barker's funeral, not yesterday, Friday, your dishes are probably out in the lobby there, so you can go check that. And there is a bunch of baked goods out in the back left over from the funeral lunch, so have at it, enjoy. It was good stuff. I tested it for you. All right? I'm a giver. Anyway, with that, what else is there?
Camilla's.
Is that this? When is that? Tuesday? Tomorrow. Monday night is Camilla's for Guatemala? Oh, for Guatemala. Okay, good. Guatemala fundraiser. See, I'm all in the know here. Guatemala fundraiser tomorrow night at Camilla's. So if you guys want to come out and give mom a break, she always appreciates going out to dinner. Unless she has to pay the bills. I don't know. Whatever. But guys, come on over and we can have a wonderful time at Camilla's tomorrow and make some money for Guatemala missions. All right? With that, God's blessings on your week. I'll see you in the back.